I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now, this is going to be, I believe, an informative and interesting message on what happened in the garden. There are not many people who know what happened in the Garden of Eden. There are not many people who know what happened when man fell, when Adam ate the forbidden fruit and fell, and death and judgment and condemnation came upon the whole world. Will you take your Bible and stay with me for a few moments and let me speak to you on the subject, what happened in the garden? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Now, while you're finding the scripture, Genesis 3, let me say this. In chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, God gives us a full account of how He brought the world into being, how He created the world. And a man cannot believe God and believe evolution. There's no way. There's no way a man can be a Christian and believe the evolutionary account of creation. He's got to believe what God said about the creation of the world. And in Genesis 1 and 2, God tells us how He brought the world into being, and especially how He formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." There was a council of the Trinity called for the purpose of the formation of this lovely creature, man, in the image of God. And God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. And after the image of God created He them, male and female." Now, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, "Lo, this have I found, that God created man." You see, when you believe evolution, you deny the whole Word of God. You deny not only what Moses wrote, but what Solomon wrote, and what Isaiah wrote, and what Christ said, and what Paul wrote. The whole Word of God is being denied when you deny creation. Solomon said, God created man, upright, holy, without sin. But man sought out many inventions. Now, how long Adam stood from the time he was created to the time he fell, nobody knows. Some say he stood one day. Well, nobody knows that for sure. He may have stood longer than that. I believe he did. Because, well, first of all, God created, or rather, God brought Eve from Adam. That took some time. And then God brought all the animals before Adam that He might name them one at a time. And that took some time. But how long Adam stood is not really important. What is important in our study this morning is this: how he came to fall and the consequences of that fall and what God promised Adam after he fell. Now, that's what's important. How he came to fall, the consequences of that fall, and what God promised him after the fall. Now, let's take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 1, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, there's been much written and said about the serpent which tempted Eve. Some people say, when the Bible says he was more subtle than any beast of the field, that means that he was more naked than any beast of the field. He had less hair than all the rest of them. He was different from all the rest of the beasts, but he was a beast. And therefore, Eve listened to him. Others say that he was more beautiful in appearance than any other animal, but he was an animal. That's what they say. But now, let's see some things that we do know. First of all, we know this: animals do not talk. We know that animals do not talk. They don't talk now, and they didn't talk then. And if an animal had come up to Eve and started talking to her, she would have been amazed. She would have been astounded. She probably would have run and got her husband and told him, "There's an animal talking back there." Then secondly, we know this, that animals were inferior to Adam and Eve. Totally inferior. When God made Adam, He gave him dominion over the earth, over the fowls and over the beasts of the field, and over all the animals. He gave him dominion over these things. And certainly, this animal, inferior to Eve could not have talked her into something she was talked into in this particular account in the Word of God. And the next thing we know this. We know that this was Satan who spoke to her. That Satan was the one that tempted her. That Satan was the one that spoke to her. Now, the form he used, that's what we're talking about. The form he used evidently didn't startle her. The form in which he appeared to her did not frighten her. Satan appeared to her, we know this, in a beautiful form. Now, remember that Satan is called in the book of Corinthians an angel of light. Keep that in mind. He's called an angel of light, a minister of righteousness, a messenger of righteousness. Now then, it was very probable that angels appeared to Adam and Eve in the garden and conversed with them. God had created the angels long before he created man. And these angels, I'm sure the angels appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 19. The angels appeared to Lot in Genesis chapter 19. The angels appeared all the way through the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament. The angels appeared to the shepherds on the Judean hillside the night that Christ was born. Satan was an angel. Before his fall, he was an angel. The most superior of all the angels, the most beautiful of all the angels, the most powerful of all the angels, called the Son of the Morning before the fall. And after the fall, if you read the first chapter of Job, verse 6, you'll find when the sons of God assembled in the presence of the Lord that Satan came with them. This was in heaven. When the angels of God appeared, this was long after the fall of man, that when these angels appeared before the Heavenly Father, Satan came with them. He was in their midst when they appeared before God. So here's what I'm saying. That Satan appeared to Eve in some sort of beautiful form. He appeared to Eve in some sort of celestial form, probably in the form of a seraph, called seraphims in the plural, but seraph. He appeared to her in this beautiful form. And she was not shocked, she was not amazed, she was not astounded, but when he spoke to her, it was like an angel speaking to her. It was like a heavenly messenger speaking to her. She had not encountered Satan before. He had not talked to her before. She evidently thought this was a messenger from heaven, one in good favor with God. And Eve was evidently alone when Satan appeared to her, for no mention is made of Adam at all. No mention is made here of Adam. And Satan spoke to her. Now, what did he say? He said, "Is it true? Is it true, Satan, in this beautiful form, subtle, crafty, cunning?" Eve was not astounded. She was not frightened. She was not startled. He appeared to her in this beautiful form. And he said to her, "Is it true that you're not allowed to eat of every tree in this garden? Is that true? Has God said to you that you can't have all of the trees in this garden?" Now, Eve, you are a superior creature. Eve, the whole earth is supposed to be in subjection to you and Adam, your husband. Yet, you're not free to eat of any tree in the garden that you want. Is that true, that you're not free to eat of any tree? Is it possible that God has something that He'll not let you have? Is it possible that there is a tree in this garden that God is keeping you from eating? Is that true? Now keep in mind, my friends, that Satan's fall, recorded in Isaiah chapter 14, was pride. Satan's fall was pride. And this is the very basis on which he is tempting Eve. Pride. This is the very direction in which he's going in this temptation of Eve. Pride. You mean, Eve, that there is a tree in this garden that you're not allowed to eat, that you're not allowed to have God keeping something from you? You're superior. You are everything. You have dominion over everything. It's in subjection to you. You're not superior. God's keeping something from you. Now, Eve answered, and she said, she knew the commandment. She repeated it. She said, "Yea, we may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree in the midst of the garden we may not eat, neither shall we touch it, lest we surely die." Now, my friends, there's been plenty of discussions about what this tree was in Genesis chapter 3. Look back there at that verse again. Eve said, "Why, we may eat of any of the trees but one." And God said, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now listen to me. There have been many arguments and many discussions about what this tree was. I had someone call me on the phone just 2 or 3 weeks ago and told me they were discussing this tree in the garden. Some say it was an apple. Now, I took the concordance just this morning, and I sat down and I went through the whole Bible to find how in the world anybody ever determined that the tree of which Adam and Eve ate was an apple tree, and I can't find one verse of Scripture in this Bible anywhere that even hints that that is so, that it was an apple tree. I don't know why. You know, when we have pictures of Eve and Adam in the garden and Satan tempted them, you have a snake wrapped around a tree holding an apple out. Well, we don't know that it was an apple tree. And then someone else suggests that this sin, this tree, was really figurative, that it wasn't a tree at all. It was an act of sex. Well, now, this is totally ridiculous. It's more ridiculous than the apple theory. God ordained a relationship between a husband and wife before the fall ever took place. God said to Adam and Eve when He first created them, "You reproduce, you replenish the earth. You bring forth sons and daughters." This was before the fall ever happened. So sex had nothing to do with the fall. What do we know? That's what we have to establish in these things. What do we know? It's just like who tempted Eve. We know Eve wouldn't talk to an inferior animal. We know that a beast of the field couldn't come up and reason with her because beasts don't talk. We know it was Satan. That's who it was. It was Satan. And Satan appeared in a powerful form, in a beautiful form, in a celestial form to Eve, and she stood and talked to him because she was used to talking to angels and heavenly beings and seeing seraphims and cherubims and things like that. She was used to it. And so it was nothing unusual for her to talk to a heavenly being. And Satan was certainly a heavenly being. At one time, he was the chief of God's creation. And here he is appealing to Eve on the basis of pride. Pride. God's keeping something from you. God's keeping something from you. Well, let me tell you this. What was this tree? This tree was a token. It represented something. And it represented something mighty big. It was a representation or a token of man's subjection to God, of man's dependence upon God. That man, while he was great, God was greater. Man, while he was holy, God was still king. Man, while he was powerful, God was still all-powerful. That man was responsible to obey God. God said, "Adam, you can have anything you want, but that one tree, leave it alone." That tree, while it stands untouched, it reveals your obedience, it reveals your dependence, it reveals your subjection to me. And that's what Satan wanted man to take. He wanted man to throw off God's sovereignty, throw off God's power, throw off his responsibility to God, his dependence upon God, his subjection to God. That's Satan's goal, to get you to do the same thing. We'll not have this man reign over us. What was his fall? He said, "I will be like God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will not bow to God. I will not worship God." That was Satan's sin, and that's what he wanted Eve to do. And she said, "Well, we can't eat of that one tree." And you know what he said? "You shall not die. You shall not die." Eve says, "God said, as soon as we eat of that tree, we die." He said, "You shall not die." This is a direct contradiction of the divine word of God. This is only a threat, Satan said to Eve. God knows this. God knows this, that when you eat of that tree, you'll be like God. You'll not die. You'll be like God. You'll not die. Now, this is Satan's way today, to put a question mark on the Word of God. This is the way of the liberal churches, put a question mark on God's Word. This is the way of liberal preachers and liberal schools and liberal colleges and liberal universities and liberal seminaries, is to say, God doesn't mean what He says. That's what Satan is saying to Eve. Eve, has God said, "You shall not eat of all the trees"? We may eat of all the trees but one. If we eat of that tree, we die. You shall not die. God does not mean that. This is Satan's way today, to put a question mark on the Word of God. And let me tell you something. This is the beginning of the end. I warn you, any preacher, any individual, any person listening to my voice, Once you put a question mark on this book, that's the beginning of the end. If you can question Genesis 1, you can question Genesis 2. If you can question Genesis 2, you can question Genesis 3. If you can question Genesis 3, you can question all the rest of it. If some of it's wrong, all of it's wrong. Now listen to Satan as he goes on verse 5. He says, this is what God knows. This is the truth. That's not true. You shall not die. God knows that when you eat of this tree, your eyes will be open. Now, he wasn't talking about her physical eyes. She wasn't blind. She could see. He was talking about the eyes of her understanding. He says, this is what will happen if you'll eat of that tree. Your understanding will be enlightened and you won't need God. Your understanding will be enlightened and you won't be in subjection to God anymore. You'll be God yourself. God knows if you eat of this tree, you'll be like God. You'll know things that you don't know now. You'll understand things that you've never understood. You'll understand what good and evil is. You don't know what evil is, Eve. You'll know what evil is. You'll be like God. Eve, God's keeping you in the dark. Eve, you don't know what evil is. You don't know what good is. You'll be great. You'll be superior. Eat of this tree. Throw off the yoke of God. Throw off the scepter of God. Be God yourself. Bow to your own will, not to God's will. Worship the flesh, not God. So look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now listen to me a moment. Satan probably ate that fruit in her presence. He probably said to her, "Why, you'll not die. Watch, Eve." And he reached over and took the fruit, whatever it was. And he ate it. And he didn't die. Nothing happened to him. He did not die. He did not change. It did not affect him one bit. And when she saw something. She saw that the tree was good for food. That here was one who ate it. This beautiful being. This superior being. This one who seems to know so much. And speaks so glibly and crafty and cunningly. It didn't affect him. She saw it was good for food. And it was pleasant to the eyes. And it was a tree desired to make one wise. Those are the three marks of the world. It was good for food. Christ said, that's the lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes. That was the lust of the eyes. And it was desired to make one wise, superior, great. That's the pride of life. And Christ said, these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are the world. And the Heavenly Father is not in these things. And the Scripture says, she saw that it was good for food, and she took the fruit and ate it. Now, hold on right here. She ate it. And I say this, probably nothing happened. That's right. Probably nothing happened. When Eve ate of the tree, probably nothing happened. It was upon Adam eating the fruit, the forbidden fruit, that the fate of man depended. Eve was not the federal head of the human race. Eve was not the representative of the human race. Adam was. Adam was the head of the human race. If Eve only ate of the fruit, it would have affected her. Sure, it would have affected her. But God would probably have made another woman. The Scripture says, in Adam we died. The Scripture says, by one man sin entered the world. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy 2, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. Adam is the head of the woman, as Christ is the head of man. Adam was the head. And so when Eve ate this fruit, she was probably alone in this whole encounter, in this whole deception, in this whole temptation. She ate of the fruit. No effect. It didn't bother her. So the Scripture says that she gave it to her husband. She found Adam, wherever he was. She found him. And she gave it to him. And she told him she had already eaten this forbidden fruit. And the Scripture says, and Adam ate it. Verse 6. Now look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. Not when Eve ate it, when Adam ate it. Adam wasn't deceived. He did this willingly, deliberately. Eve was deceived.
Eve was the one that encountered the serpent. Eve was the one who was tricked and deceived into eating the fruit. She took it and gave it to Adam, and he willingly and intelligently, knowing what he was doing, disobeying God, he ate that fruit. And when he did, when he ate it, not when she ate it, when he ate it, Adam is the head of the human race. Adam is the head of woman. Nothing happened when Eve ate that fruit, but when Adam did, the Scripture says their eyes were open. Oh, yeah, their eyes were open, but not to advanced knowledge as they had been told, and not to things pleasant as they had been promised, and not to things beautiful as they had been told, and not to superior knowledge as they had been promised. Their eyes were open to distress and condemnation and damnation. They knew some things they never knew before. Satan said they would. He said they would. He said, you know some things you don't know. And they did. First of all, they knew guilt. They'd never known guilt before. It's guilt that dries up the soul. It's guilt that dries up the heart. It's guilt that plagues men. It's guilt that fills the institution. It's guilt that drives men and women mad. It's guilt, the guilt of sin, the terrible, heavy burden of guilt. Adam said, the Scripture says, their eyes were open. They saw they were naked. Naked. They knew fear. They hid themselves. They'd never run from God before. They'd walked with God in the garden. They'd delighted in the presence of God. They'd run to meet Him. Now they ran and hid. Fear. They'd never known fear. They never knew shame. They began to try to find some big leaves. The fig leaves are big leaves over in those Oriental countries. And they got some fig leaves and they tried to weave them together and make them some aprons to cover their bodies because they were ashamed. They never did no shame before. They never did no hate. When God came and said, what have you done, Adam? Have you eaten the tree that I told you not to eat of? He said, that woman. He didn't say my beloved wife. He said, that woman. He now hated her. That woman that you made, she gave me that fruit. He didn't stand and protect her and say, Lord, it's my fault. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I confess. Adam, it's confession time now. Adam, you've always been honest with me before. Adam, you've always spoke the truth. Not now. He knows something he didn't know before. He knows sin. He's a fallen creature now. He's no longer honest. He's no longer truthful. He's no longer bold to confess what he said, knows in his heart. That woman, she did it. She did it. It's all her fault. It's not my fault at all. And then he acted foolishly. He tried to hide from God. My friends, their eyes were open. Something happened. When Adam reached out and put his hand on that tree of which God had commanded him, thou shalt not eat, Adam died spiritually. Guilt, fear, shame, condemnation, hate, foolishness came into his heart. He died. And that all came on me and you at that very time. By one man's disobedience, all of us were made sinners. By one man's sin, Adam, by one man's sin, Adam's sin, death came upon all men. For all sin. And you and I, that's the plague upon us now. Guilt, fear, shame, hate, foolishness. But I'll tell you this. Everything Adam lost in that garden, we have restored in Christ. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we have been recovered from all these things. Take guilt. Scripture says there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ we're holy. Unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. In Christ, our record is clear. Our hearts are clean. Our hands are pure in Christ. No guilt. And in fear, perfect love casteth out fear. In Christ, we can say, Father, Father. We don't run hide from God anymore. We come boldly into His presence. Through the veil, through that blessed way opened for us by the blood of our Savior. No more fear. No more fear. He's driven out the spirit of fear and given us the spirit of adoption. Shame, Scripture says, he that believeth on the Lord shall not be ashamed. No more are we ashamed. We're naked creatures in His sight. He sees not only our flesh but our hearts. God looketh not on the outward countenance but on the heart. We're ashamed of ourselves but not in Christ. In Christ we're clean and pure. Hate, no more. We say with David, against thee have I sinned and done this evil. No more putting the blame somewhere else. We say, Lord,
I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh. Like Moses, Lord, save them or brought me out of the book which thou hast written. Foolishness? Adam taught foolishness. Adam demonstrated foolishness. But in Christ, we have wisdom. We don't run from God. We don't try to cover our sin with good works. He covers them with His blood. We have everything that Adam lost in that garden. The way to God, the truth of God, and the life of God, we have regained in Christ Jesus. And then in Genesis 3 here, you have the first promise of Christ coming. In Genesis 3:15, God said to the serpent, to Satan, Satan, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He'll bruise your head, you'll bruise his heel. That's Christ. The seed of woman is Christ, the virgin-born Son of God. He was born of a virgin that he might not partake of the sin of Adam, the fall of Adam. The seed of woman shall crush the power of Satan, destroy his government, but Satan will bruise his heel, that is, his human nature. And then in verse 21, you have the first picture of Christ. We have the first promise of Christ in 15. 21, the picture of Christ. When God said, Adam and Eve, those fig leaves won't cover your nakedness. So he killed an animal. There you have the shedding of blood, substitution. And he covered Adam and Eve with the coats of skin. There you have the robe of Christ's righteousness. The shedding of blood and the covering of our guilt with the righteousness of his Son. These tapes are available on cassette recordings if you'd like to have them. They are for sale. You write to me. I'll send you a list of tapes. You may obtain them. Until next Lord's Day at the same time, God bless you, everyone.